Hello, everybody. Hello, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Nerds of the North, the premier form of video game show hosted by two brothers, but not each other's brothers, and a third person only live from Simon's main floor, Matt's basement, and Caitlin's second floor. I am your father, son, and the goalie host, Simon Pazzo, joined in solidarity by my faithful squad mates, Matthew Menier and Caitlin McIntyre. How are we doing, lads?
Doing all right.
Pretty good. I can like move normally again now, so that's definitely an improvement over last time.
Oh yeah, you were going through. Yeah, I guess you don't want us to mention that in the podcast. Hey.
Yeah, that, just how much pain you were in. You don't want to go over
no,
that.
No. The incident.
The incident.
Yeah.
He's just playing
cool.
He's playing it cool.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We need to move on.
Can't talk about that day.
Anyways.
All right, let's move on right into the third and then penultimate. There's no fun word for the third last episode, unfortunately. But episode 7 and 8 of HBO's The Last of Us, presented by Craig Mazin, directed by Neil Druckmann, whatever. We were kind of teasing them beforehand. There's a lot of intros. I think... I mean, we'll go through the episode. We'll do our standard thing, but right off the hop. So first of all, I want to thank Caitlin for being here. She stayed on after Black History Month to stay on for Women's History Month. So really brave. The diversity hire comes through for the second month in a row. Honestly,
should pay me. Should probably start paying me.
You can have exactly as much as I make from this podcast.
Deal. I'll take it all.
Yeah, let's do it. Anyway. But so that aside, don't hate me for this hot take. I thought these episodes were both good, maybe even great, but I wasn't blown away the same way I was blown away by some of the other episodes. And I think it's because all the video game purists out there, this must be their favorite episodes. These were basically two, I think, like shot by shot remakes of the game in a way, like the previous ones, it had a lot of moments where it's like, oh yeah, that's part straight from the game, and then like some of the connective tissue is different. When I was watching these episodes, both of them, I was like, this is the game, like this is just the game, and I enjoy the game, but I've played it three times, which were
99% less zombies.
Well, yeah, just the general, that's an established part. There's less zombies, less fighting, less action in general, but the meaningful moments I thought were like, it was just like watching a let's play of the game, which is good. And I will be really curious to find out from people if they hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Nerds of the North Podcast, if they had the same reaction without having seen the game. It's like, oh man, if this is all new, does it work? But I was kind of, I don't know, I was kind of vibing on the small changes they were making. And then suddenly it was like, we're going to play it totally straight. Well, not straight.
Oh. Homosexuals.
Yeah, gay. Anyway, what did you guys think?
I had sort of a slightly different experience with these than you do, because I had not played the DLC. So I generally knew the plot a little bit, but like this was fully fresh for me. And then for episode 8, honestly, up until a scene fairly late in the episode, I could not remember a thing about this storyline from the game, to the point where I was like, oh, they must be changing this to, oh, maybe they're, I thought they were setting something up for season 2, that they had made a change. And I was like, oh, interesting. I don't know if I like that. And then, yeah, 3/4 of the way through, I was like, oh, right. No, yeah, this is in the game. I just forgot. So yeah, a bit of a different experience. But yeah, I think, again, both very good. I liked 8 better than I liked 7. And I think that's not 7's fault. I just had very high expectations for it, and I think expected something different than what it was going to be. So that's not the episode's fault. That was just an expectations thing for me. But 7 might be my least favorite episode of the season, actually.
Ooh, in this economy.
I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was very good, but you know, amongst A's and A pluses, I think this one came out as like a B plus for me.
That's true. I don't even know what I would say is like the worst episode of the season. Like,
that's the hard part, because it's not like any of the episodes I find have been bad. There's been no episode that I haven't genuinely enjoyed and kept me excited for the next episode. And controversially, I do think episode 7 was probably my least favorite, but it would still be like a B. I really don't think anything ranked below that for me. I saw that it's been getting pretty bad reviews, and I kept an open mind being like, you know, maybe it wasn't, maybe there was something. I found that it went by, it cut off really quickly at the end. I never played the DLC, so I'm not 100% sure, so I don't know how it ends, but when they cut back to Ellie and Joel, and then it just kind of ended, I did think that was a little abrupt, and so I thought that maybe people's critiques would be of that, and I just keep wanting to say, let the record show, I kept an open mind, I was thinking best of people, and then I saw the reviews, and it was all, like, the one stars, and people being like, not in front of my kids, the zombie yeah. show.
I mean,
keep
that
this gay shit out of my post-apocalyptic zombie show. I'm here for disembowelments and decapitations and cannibalism, not gay stuff.
And for Christ. God. Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Christ is all about cannibalism, right? Like, we eat his body every Sunday. Is that the idea?
Exactly, allegedly.
Eat his body, drink his blood. I mean, this is... These are cannibalistic behaviors. It's not that far off. Shout out to my 12 years of Catholic education. That's good to hear. I mean, I was thinking about what you guys are talking about. That's been, like, so strong episode to episode. You're right. This is probably the weakest one because it didn't do the dignity of having a House of the Dragon. What was that, episode 2 or 3? That we all kind of agreed was, like, kind of a dud. And then every episode was a banger. So, like, okay, it was just that one episode that we can point to. But, like, this was just, every other episode has been so strong. And like,
this far
the
in the
ending,
season,
pardon me,
you can't help. This far in the season, you can't help but compare it to, like, all the bangers that we've had already. If it was, like, one of the first couple episodes, it probably would have been, like, swept under the rug. But, this late in the series.
Yeah, and I think it's impossible to separate... Like, the episode ends... I even rewatched this before we started talking here. I rewatched the ending of the DLC. And it's, like, almost shot for shot a recreation. But, of course, when you play the DLC, like, they go... And they kind of bounce back and forth. I think in the DLC, you're stuck in the mall or something like that. And that's the framing device. And then she's kind of has these memories of Riley, something along those lines. But the difference is, of course, in the DLC, it's DLC. So you know what happened to Joel. I also thought that was weird that, like, Pedro Pascal is, like, the co-lead of the show. And he's, like, down for the count for, like, an episode and a half here. Like, a significant amount of time in the show.
Yeah, he more or less has 2 episodes off.
Yeah.
Let the man take a break. That was the same in the game, though, no? Like... He was
He's down
for a
while.
Bit. Yeah,
He's,
like
but
that was
there's
the
so much more.
Part.
Yeah, but there's so much more. Like they only have the 9 hours, right? So if he's down for the count for like an hour and a half, I think that's a way higher percentage than he was out of the game. And like I was kind of talking
especially
about
especially leading up right to the end. Cuz that was sort of
exactly.
like my immediate thoughts after the episode was same with you, Caitlin. I sort of thought the ending was a little bit abrupt. Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for the moment where we would see Ellie have to like kill Riley and it just never happened. And I was like,
yes, that was
surprising restraint from Craig dump truck of dead puppies. Amazing.
Well, that's a Druckmann thing for sure, because they also don't show it in the, that part, like where they just kind of fade on their two faces. And there's the implication that Ellie probably had to kill Riley. That is exactly the same as the game.
Okay. I thought so.
I kind of would have wanted to see that actually. I was, as bad as it sounds, I was sort of disappointed. I wanted to see that moment for Ellie, but anyway.
I thought it was heavily implied, but like if we even saw Riley start to turn maybe and Ellie having to make a decision, then it cuts to black. That would have been cool. Craig, hit me up. I'd be happy to help write an episode. But it just did feel like there was all this lead up and all this tension. And then I think they could have added like 5 or so more minutes on there. I had paused the episode close to the end just to like do whatever, but when I saw there's only like 5 minutes left and they had been bit and everything, I was like, oh dang, okay.
Yeah, I was waiting for the closure that never quite came. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I was to get back to it was, yeah, like Joel's like this is more or less a full episode off of the main plot. Mm-hmm. Which we've done before and I theoretically don't have a problem with, but then for Joel to then also be out for more or less an entire episode in the next one, and now it's just like, it's okay, so you haven't seen our main character in 2 episodes and now we're in the finale. I was very much feeling after this one, a little bit of, and this is going to be a weird comparison, and I mean it in not a bad way, well, only slightly a bad way. It reminded me of like season 8 of Game of Thrones. Ooh. Where it's like, okay, they have this many episodes, and then there's an entire episode that just sort of like pauses the plot, and it's like, whoa, we don't have much left to go. I really thought we were going to use this time to move the story a little more efficiently. Now there is really not that much time left and a lot to do. I was, after this one, I was really just feeling worried, where it's like, there's a lot to go still. I don't know if they're leaving themselves enough time.
I know, and that's the curse of having played the game, right? But I didn't really mind the step away from Joel, because yes, Joel is the main character, but Ellie is the main character as well. I've always seen them kind of like as equals in this. Yes, the story starts with Joel, but we also see how Ellie gets there and all this stuff. So I thought it was kind of nice just to have like an episode where we see where Ellie's at, you know, like seeing like what she's willing to do. We already know what Joel's willing to do for Ellie. We get to see what Ellie's willing to do for Joel. I thought it was kind of nice just to have that time away, because like, yeah, I knew in the game that there was a lot of time away from Joel as he's like dying under that blanket for a while. And if like they had him bounce back really fast, it would have been kind of anticlimactic. Like, we have to have that bit of tension. Like, damn, he's not looking great.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind that amount of time dedicated to Ellie, but I think it's just because I really enjoy Bella Ramsey's performance.
Well, it's not that. I think season 8 might actually be the perfect metaphor, because I totally agree with you, Matt. It's not that I mind time with Ellie. It's that I wanted more time, period. Like, the same way that season 8 of Game of Thrones probably would have been better with, like, 12 episodes. Like, this episode would be great, but, like, the fact that he's gone now for basically, like, over 20% of the show, if you want to think of it like that, because it's only 9 episodes. Like, he's gone for, like, a significant, significant portion of the show. And I was already talking about last week how I was kind of feeling the strain of the lack of what we'd probably call filler episodes, but just like a more gradual ramp up of their relationship. Whereas now, like, he's been gone for a while, and we're supposed to, like, I mean, Bella Ramsey's doing a great job acting and all that kind of stuff, but we're supposed to, like, be buying that they're, like, now completely ride or die. Like, it just seems, it's weird, because I, like, bought the relationship so much in the game, but for some reason in the show, it's just, like, not totally connecting with me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead. I was just gonna say, I really buy it. I do really buy it. Like, especially just like how much Joel has gone through for her and everything that went down at the university, and then, like, you know, she knows that she can't make it without him. Neither does she want to make it without him. And I don't know. I just thought it was, like, really easy to buy. But sorry, yeah, go on, Matt.
Yeah, like, I like having an Ellie-centric episode. I think my issue with it is more, like, the placement in the season, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Because you have this then followed up by an episode that's more or less its own self-contained story. Like, it doesn't really ramp up to the finale in any way. Mm. It's quite episodic in that way. So then, it sort of feels now like I don't feel like we're at the finale. There's no sort of like momentum going to the end, and it's like, all right, this is it. Like,
yeah,
I know the story is going to be great, but it sort of feels like the end is now more or less kind of coming out of nowhere.
Yes. Because
like for Joel as a character now, we're basically going, he's going from like episode 6 to the finale. Like, he hasn't done anything since episode 6. And so, like you were saying with Simon, with the Ellie and Joel's relationship, we're now going from more or less, we just had our moment of like, yes, we actually do care about each other, and like, you know, we love each other and we're there for each other. Skip ahead directly to the end. And yeah, like, I buy the relationship, but I think more time between those two things would help just for like pacing of the season overall.
Yeah. It's, I think it's just not sunk in yet that next episode's our finale. It just doesn't feel real. And I think, like, now that we're talking about it now, it's sinking in, and I'm kind of panicking a bit. Like, what do you mean? We finally just got to the point where Joel is seeing Ellie as his daughter, And then what? We're going right into that ending? It was really ambitious for them to do this in 9 episodes. This is... it's a lot of ground to cover. Like, my partner, who hadn't played the games or watched any gameplay or anything, she was completely surprised that, like, we're so close to the end, because she was like, okay, now what? Like...
yeah, and apparently the finale is 43 minutes long.
Which is horrifying.
Which has me genuinely worried. I'm like, there's... I mean, it's not like a... you know, it's not like some grand saga that we still need to get through. But like, it's not nothing, and that's a short episode. I believe that's the shortest one of the season.
I think so. Like, it's genuinely worrying me, seeing that we only have that little time to cover such a major thing. And that it's the finale. Like, this is... man.
Yeah, and it's a little bit hard to talk about, like, pacing when we haven't seen the end of it. Like, I know. You know, who knows? They might wrap it up masterfully and we'll all be eating our hat next week. But yeah, leading into it, I am actually kind of worried with what they've left themselves to do and how much time they have.
Yeah, because that's the thing, we've been here before. So yeah. Like, I just rewatched the ending of 8, like the very last shot of 8, because generally you'd think, I mean, I've seen a TV show of my day or two, but if, like, if you have a dramatic story, like, you'd think they would want to have some sort of setup at the end of 8 to lead into 9, right? Like,
yes.
Here it is, like, some sign of, like, they're riding up to, like, the university or whatever, where all the fireflies, like, are, and then, like, are. You see it off in the distance. Yeah, so it's like, here's where episode 9 is going to be. But the end of episode 8 is, like, Joel and Ellie limping off into the distance, which to me begs for an episode 9.
Yes.
Where they do talk about how much they bond, and it's like, dude, you fucking killed that dude for me. That's fucking crazy. Dude, I slaughtered like 19 people to get to you, and I didn't even need to get to you. You handled it all by yourself. Like, I feel like
we're,
I need an entire episode.
Now.
Yeah.
We're trauma bonded.
We need an episode to sit in that, as opposed to just rush off to this finale. Especially, like, because, like, you have two, I mean, Joel was not the center of this episode, of episode 8, which we'll get to. But, especially because you basically have two back-to-back episodes of Joel, like, butchering a group of people to get to Ellie. You know, like, stylistically, they're just very similar. Assuming that they don't take a drastic right turn, but given that I think the other setting up Joel to get murked by a golf club again, I think that that's, the ending is still going to be the same.
Man, I am just so hungry for filler right now. Like, I know we've had filler, but, like, give me a beach episode, man. Yeah. Give me the beach episode. Give me, like, the fair episode. Like, I need more of this universe. I'm genuinely gutted that we only have 43 minutes left of it. Like, I need more zombies. Please, just give me a whole episode of them just, like, fighting zombies, because we have not had enough zombies in the show. I'm sure, like, everyone knows this and everyone's accepted it. Like, we're focusing more on the people. But honestly, like, usually the people are my least favorite thing about a zombie apocalypse show. Like, that's why I got bored with Walking Dead. I really don't care about settlements. I care more about American zombies. But with this one, I really didn't notice until I was looking back. I was like, where are all those zombies, man? What the hell?
We haven't seen one in a few episodes.
Yeah, the last one we saw was the one that bit Ellie and Riley. But besides that...
In our main actual timeline, it's been like...
it's
actually, what, like 3-4 episodes?
No, yeah. It's been, the last one was the one that, like, killed, what's her name? Karen, right?
Yeah.
The kid that killed Karen, that was the last group of zombies.
Right, which
right
was 5. Okay, so it's actually not that long ago, but
it feels like
it's
a
been
long
a long time.
That's because, like, they were so sparse with them before, and we know the finale, sorry, Caitlin,
yeah,
no, interrupted you, but we know the finale is going to be a people-based finale. I'm sure they were infected at some point there in the game. But if they can avoid it, they probably will, because they have every other time. So it's probably going to be just people. So, like, episode 5 in this, like, a flagship zombie show was really the only one where the zombies get their wreck shop.
Yeah, and, like, it's just... yeah. I love violence, man. Give me that violence.
I don't even necessarily need the violence, but it... it sort of makes you think, it's like, is it really the apocalypse out west? Because I haven't seen what's been causing the apocalypse out here yet. You know, like, I understand it's not going to be as violent as the game. We're not going to have a full action set piece every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want that. But even just, you know, a few of them wandering in the woods that they have to deal with, or just notice off in the distance kind of thing. It just sort of gives more believability to the world, because really once they've sort of gotten out west, I'm not sure that we've seen a single one.
Well, and the one thing though is also that's winter. Cordyceps doesn't do well in the cold, and I wish they just said something about it, maybe. Like, I don't know if that would have been too, like, okay, yeah, whatever, that's why you don't have zombies. But we know that Cordyceps loves, like, warm temperature. We know that, like, fungus loves warm temperature. So it makes sense that during the winter, things are kind of in stasis. But there's been times where we can jump around that. Or even just leading up to winter. It's only been winter for a couple episodes. There could have been time where we actually do run into more danger, especially in the first couple episodes. Around the QZs, we didn't really see much. It's just a shame.
I mean, this is going to sound like I'm coming down negative on the show. I think we all sound like we're coming down negative on the show. It's like, it's
one of those things
where it's we love it so much that we wish it could be even better. That's like the situation,
exactly.
Right? But they seem to have taken, and by they, I mean, they listen to Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann, who are both geniuses, but unfortunately, I think they both know it. Do you guys get this impression from the podcast? Or they're just
they made
this decision because we knew it. Yeah, I'm like, whatever. I like a little more humor with you. But fine. You've earned it at this point. But the thing is, they seem to a fundamental mistake that I think that they've made, and maybe this is something that they need to do to HBO to get HBO to greenlight the show, because this is, again, the most famous or most successful probably video game adaptation of all time, whatever. But I think that they made the fundamental mistake of assuming that we all love The Last of Us because of the set pieces, whereas The Last of Us is firmly in the camp of, like, the Mass Effects and other games like that, where it's not about the set pieces, it's about the hanging out in the world with people that you like. We have not had nearly enough hanging out moments with Ellie and Joel. We've had some.
Yeah.
They've been really good, and we needed at least 2 to 3 times more.
They've been tasty, tasty, tasty crumbs. So good. But just, I wish they took their time. I wish they didn't limit it to 9 episodes. I would have watched 15. Like, I would have watched more than 15, honestly. But I think if they just, like, spread it out a little more, you know, like, I feel like this is what a lot of viewers are going to be thinking, is that, like, you know, I could have sat with this for a lot longer. I would have been willing to sit through a lot more bonding, especially, and exploring the world. Like, we've seen 2 major cities, 2 major QZs, how things have changed, but I would just love to see more of how they're navigating spaces. Like, they're obviously avoiding cities because of zombies, but, like, I just want to see more of what this world is like. It's just making me want to replay the game for those little moments when I just feel a little starved from the show.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, there's absolutely something to be said for, like, a lean story that, like, you know, not an ounce of fat on it kind of thing. But, you know, the, like, fat's what gives the meat its flavor.
Exactly.
You know? I want some more time to sit with these guys. I think, like, there's definitely, and it's been going on for a while, the sort of, like, pushback against the, like, very long seasons of TV with tons of filler episodes that don't advance anything. You know, I'm happy to move away from, like, 24 episode seasons where it's all nonsense. But, like, some of that filler isn't just filler. Like, we get character moments, we, like, learn more about the relationships, we get to spend time with the characters, that just helps us sort of live in the world and care a bit more. And sometimes with shows these days, I find they cut a little bit too much and leave just what's necessary. But you know what? Sometimes the fat really adds a lot.
I agree. Yeah. Like, I grew up on, like, Naruto and, like, Dragon Ball Z, and that was just, like, filler city, right? Like, filler fanservice city. Mm-hmm. And I want that. I want it. Like, especially from something so high quality from this, like, HBO series where they obviously had a crazy budget, and we're seeing all this behind the scenes and all of this, like, thought going into each of these scenes for these things that make sense. And I just want some of that fat added back on, exactly like you said, Matt. I just want, like, some of those little dumb moments, like a couple extra minutes of a scene. Just, they didn't need to trim so closely.
Do you think they just didn't want to be in Calgary for any longer than they had to be?
Shut up! No! No!
And they didn't even bother coming to Winnipeg.
So if they were in Edmonton, they would be like, oh god, we gotta get out of here. It's basically Winnipeg 2.0, but...
Yeah, I would kill for like a Game of Thrones season 8, and I can't believe I'm about to praise that season of TV, but I would kill for a Game of Thrones pre-Battle of Winterfell episode where all it is, nothing happens. It's just the characters sitting around and having... quote unquote meaningless conversations with each other. I would love the whole episode.
The last great episode of Game of Thrones.
It's where we see character. It's where we see like what this person is like in their downtime when they're not stabbing a potential rapist.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. We probably should get to the episode at some point. But I was trying to think as you guys were talking, what specific stuff am I missing? And I think like the big thing that they really avoided, other than episode 2 with Tess, and maybe because it's really expensive and a pain in the ass to do, is but we really haven't seen them do what you were doing for 90% of the game, right? Just going from one location to the other slowly. Yeah. Painfully going through those, but those are the crucial moments. And I know like they got to find a way to shoot that for television. I understand it's gonna be difficult, but like when you think about it, a lot of the little stuff, like Ellie sees a poster for an 80s action movie, and like this is early on before her and Joel have gotten in touch, and then Joel like makes some sort of like chuckle or something like that, and then Ellie runs with that, and the next time she sees another one like 10 hours later, she makes a comment, or she asks him what coffee is, and he tells her like this, you know, goes on this whole thing. We haven't gotten any of those little moments, and I think like those are all like the those are the super crucial things. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. We need an episode 9 with, like, just to hang out and to sit in this world that we've now created before we go into episode, well, the final episode, but you all know what
we
I mean.
We need the beach episode. We need the beach episode.
I thought this was
going to
be a hot take, but we're totally in sync.
Oh, yeah, totally. It is just because, like, again, we love this show so much. Like, this show is so, so good. And, like, when I'm watching the episodes, I'm not having any of these thoughts. It's only when I'm sitting down and talking about this that I'm like, man, I just wish there was just a little bit more. And it's probably good. It'd be good as, like, a showrunner to hear the critique, I wish there was more. Like, it's perfect, but I just wish I had more time with these characters. Like, that's not too big of a critique. It's more like, I wish you just had more episodes of the show. No big deal.
Yeah, it's the same. Like, almost none of my problems are with the actual episodes.
Yeah.
They're all things that are, like, outside of what's actually happening. Because, yeah, I would love nothing more than, like, The West Wing did this in one season where they did it. They did an episode that's more or less a play where it's just in real time. And they did, it was the presidential debate that they did. And, like, I would love literally just an hour of Joel and Ellie riding on a horse, uncut in real time, just having conversations walking down the road.
But it's like a musical episode.
That would
episode.
Be fantastic. Hey,
along.
Joel always wanted to be a singer.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's hear that beautiful voice. I'm sure Pedro Pascal could sing a little tune.
Yeah, I'm sure he can carry a tune for sure. But I mean, I would like just to do an episode. We talked about, I think, I forget if it was in this podcast or the actual News of the North, Matt, where we talked about like the Doom. I think it was this one, right? That Doom movie where at the end they have like the first person thing. Like other than that one part of season or episode 2, we haven't seen what it's like to just play the game. So like the horse riding I think will be fine. But honestly just like moving from room to room, shooting the shit, Casey a zombie pops up, Joel like headshots it, like have like small action scenes with like regular zombies. They don't have to be clickers or bloaters or anything like that.
No, exactly.
Just regular runners. Stuff dealing with regular problems, I think would be great. Because like you're right. They hyped up so much about the zombies in the first couple episodes with, like, the, oh, man, you, like, touch them here and they can feel it, like, a mile away. Like, there was so much lore about the cordyceps virus, and then it, like, barely is a factor.
Never came back. Never came back. Exactly. And I thought it was so fascinating because, like, especially with how they're getting around the spores issue, it just, you expected so much more follow-up when they're, truly was none, unless it's all gonna magically come back in the 42 minutes that it is the last episode. But I was so excited to see what else they were gonna do with this like weird network of cordyceps. I wasn't excited to see more of like zombies trying to French you, but everything else seemed cool.
Yeah, we could skip that specific part that they seem to be into. Okay, so shall we briefly talk about the actual episode?
Of episode 7?
Yeah, episode 7. So it does start off, I'll do the standard thing, go through it. So it does start off with Ellie and Joel, and Joel tells her to leave, and of course she's not going to leave. Joel, you idiot. And then it goes to Ellie's memory of living in Boston, and she gets into a fight, and then she meets up with a guy, and we see, like, this is the closest we've ever seen to a functional Fedra, and probably the last time we'll ever see a functional-ish Fedra. And then well, shortly after that,
this is the only time we'd actually see, like, them in a decent light as, like, a neutral being.
Yeah, this guy's, like, not a total dick. They're trying to do
this. Yeah, they're just guys trying to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we go to Ellie's room. We get to see a Mortal Kombat 2 poster. We call that foreshadowing. And that's when Riley shows up. So, to be clear, neither of you had played the DLC?
Correct.
No.
Wow, I'm coming in with the forbidden knowledge. Yeah, it was just... It was, like, similar to the game. Like, I loved just hanging out with Riley, and then they nailed some of the set pieces. Like, I distinctly remember the photo booth. Mm-hmm. Definitely remembered that. I definitely remembered they play on an arcade, but if it's not Mortal Kombat in the game, of course. And then they play, or they go to the what's it called? The merry-go-round. That was another great moment.
But they're great here, too. It was so nice to see Ellie smiling. We've never seen Ellie that happy. She's never smiled like that with Joel or with anyone. And that whole episode, I just had, like, happy little butterflies because Ellie just looks so happy and so, like, just, like, at peace at times. Like, obviously, she was pissed in some parts and stuff, but when she was with Riley on, like, the merry-go-round and... just those little moments. It was just so nice. It was so nice to see. We've never seen her that happy.
Oh, man. I was just so stressed the whole time. Because, I mean, I haven't played it, but, you know, I knew going in that this was sort of the story of how Ellie got infected. Mm-hmm. And especially once they showed us Chekhov's zombie, like, and I'm sure some of the filmmaking was intentional this way with just some of the camera angles and stuff like that, but just... the entire time I was just expecting, with every little turn of the camera, anytime they walked past an opening, I was just expecting, like, zombie jump scare, like, every 5 seconds throughout the entire episode.
Oh, completely.
So, yeah. So, up. I mean, yeah, it's great to see Riley, or Ellie, just be a kid, like, having fun, just doing things that teenagers do. But yeah, the entire time I'm also just like, oh no, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. It's about to happen. Like every 10 seconds through the entire thing.
Oh yeah. A zombie coming out in like full Victoria's Secret lingerie and just like mauling them.
Missed opportunity.
Truly. Come on, season 2. Do it. Make it happen. That would have been great. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's a very, especially when you listen to them on the podcast, it's a very efficient episode because they fit in so many things. They're like classic teenagers moments. Like, the fitting, going to the mall. Well, how can they go to the mall? Well, they'll go to this, like, derelict mall. And also, kind of like
the equivalent of... which was a real mall in Calgary, which is hilarious.
Yeah, well, a real one-story piece of shit mall, the way they talk about it. And so that, this is the thing that shocked me the most in the podcast. Clearly, Caitlin, you've also heard it. Is that one brilliant shot, that, like, that beautiful, perfect shot of all the lights turning on, is CGI.
I was shook, and I still need to go back and see that, but it just felt like, you felt like Ellie seeing it all light up. It was just so magical, like, wow, the ball.
Yeah, like, something about, that shot needs to be analyzed, because something about that shot just feels so satisfying and perfect, and just wonderful. When apparently the actual mall they were in was a one-story thing, and it had an escalator on one side that went up to a winner's, and it was so funny listening to Craig Mason try to describe Winners. And there's a Winners, which is kind of like a Canadian Target. It's a Canadian
Target. Yeah. No. I was like, not quite, but okay.
Actually, Winners is.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would compare it to in America. TJ but something Maxx? More basic. Do they
have TJ Maxx? Yeah, it's Maxx a Winners. On that? Yeah.
Sure. Did you say TJ Maxx? Can we get an American confirm that one for us? I have no idea.
Can we ask an American?
Let's get an American on the podcast. We need AMA. They don't talk enough. They don't get their opinions out enough. These Americans.
Honestly, truly, as a Canadian, I can finally say, let Americans speak.
They've been too quiet on the world stage for too long.
Or were you silenced,
America? Whoa. Holy shit. Whoa. You nailed it. Anyway, it's just a very, like, they also, I'm just kind of like scrolling through it, they also fit in your first drink. Like, that's part of it here.
I would have been wasted. Oh my god, the amount they were drinking, I was genuinely like, whoa. And that's kind of the part where, like, you know, kind of skipping forward, but around the end when they were both bit, it kind of made me be like, okay, yeah, I can see that. Like, them just, like, totally adrenaline slash slightly drunk. But damn, they drank a lot.
Yeah, they're really putting it down. I was watching, when I was in California last week, I was watching old movies.
What a flex. Shut up.
I know.
When I was in California last week.
Hey, you also escaped Winnipeg, too.
Well, in Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. Yeah, to Calgary.
Yeah, sorry, Sam. How was the weather in Palm Springs?
Yeah,
was it comfy?
How was it?
It was cold, and there were power outages, and like, one of my favorite YouTubers.
Oh, was it a little chewy?
One of my favorite YouTubers, Spraggles, didn't have power for 3 days. It was
Oh, no, in California. Oh, no.
God,
that
fucking
I'm
voice.
Sorry.
Anyway, I was watching it. There it is. I was watching an old movie where a guy ordered a pint of bourbon. That was his drink order.
Oh.
And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Damn.
So maybe Ellie and Riley are coming from the proud Cary Grant.
That's just how they do
genealogy.
It down there, you know?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's how they roll. A pint of bourbon.
That'd be like 30
Jesus.
Bucks.
Yeah, well, yeah. Up here, it'd be like 60 fucking
yeah,
alcohol.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, yeah, but they get to drink and they get to have their first, like, it's just such an iconic thing where, like, they talk about it on the podcast too, but it's so true. That first crush you have where, like, against, like, everything is pointing in the direction of they must like you back. And, like, we're probably, I don't know if this resonates with you guys, we're like the MSN generation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where
oh
we had to have those awkward conversations over Instant Messenger, but just, like, they want to hang out with you constantly. They're talking to you from the time they get home from school to the time they have to go to sleep. But it's like, but do they like me, though? But do they like
changing
me? Still can't
your
be sure.
Status,
can't be sure.
Changing your status to something cryptic, being like, oh.
Switching up your, like, paragraph-long
yes.
username to a different paragraph-long username.
Signing in, signing out.
Kept track of it all.
Signing in, signing out. Signing in, signing out. Trying to get their attention. Signing in,
are
signing
they seeing
out.
Me? Are they seeing me?
Yeah. Are they seeing me? Nudge. I miss that nudge routine.
Oh my god,
bring
the
it
nudge.
Back. Bring it
you
back.
You just took me back. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I'd be like in the middle of playing World of Warcraft and I get a nudge and I was like, ah!
God, that was the fucking Wild West, man.
Hell yeah.
God damn, we had the best childhood. We picked a good time to be kids. Like, coming up with, like, from no technology to where we are now was just so fucking wild.
Insane. Like, we really experienced it all.
Yeah, someone should make a movie about
Hamsterdance.com. Yeah.
Hamsterdance.com. Yeah, going through the various websites.
Yeah, that's my first
talking with
of the
Smarter
internet.
Child when none of your actual friends were online.
Oh!
Anyway, speaking of retro gaming, one of the things they do is they pick up Mortal Kombat, which was great to see. Love those authentic Mortal Kombat sounds. And then this is like they talked earlier in the season, right? I had a friend who played as Melina. She eats you and then spits out your bones.
Spits out your bones. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there were a few nice callbacks from earlier on in this one. They were cool to see.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, so again, like just kind of scrolling through the episode, I don't know that I need to go beat by beat because we spent half an hour shitting on the show, but it's weird that like everything in this episode is totally fine and yet it's brought down because of the stuff like around it. It's such a bizarre way to feel, but clearly we all do.
If there was more filler besides just this, I don't think the rating would have been as low. Like
yeah.
if there
yeah,
was
I
just
I think
more
if,
to it.
I think if there were 10 episodes in this season, I wouldn't have a single problem with this episode.
Exactly. It's just
outside
like,
of like one or two little things. But like it yeah, for me it's really just a timing.
And I think
thing
I agree with
that
you,
Matt. Afterwards I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I think I agree with you that I would have liked the episode to be in a different spot. I mean, that is where it is in the game. But like I said at the beginning, in the game, most likely you had like I don't think it the game doesn't pause to my knowledge. Maybe the remake changed this. But the game doesn't pause at that moment for you to go play the DLC. You play the game as normal, and then the DLC is like, meanwhile, while Joel was dying, right? But it's like you get to see the complete mm-hmm. story without interruptions, and it's like a little side story that happened at that one particular moment. Whereas I kind of think that maybe Neil and Craig were just like patting themselves in the back so fucking hard as they were writing this, probably getting high on that sweet California weed. They were down there. They're like, oh man, we got him hook, line, and sinker. They're never gonna believe what happens to Joel next. What do we do next, bro? We hit him with Left Behind. Oh shit! And like ramp up the tension. But like, I don't think we quite got to. And I thought it was a me problem, so I'm relieved to hear it happened to you too as well. But I don't think we quite got emotionally to where they wanted us to get to before this happened. Just because, again, yeah, we needed some more filler time.
Yeah, just one more. Like I said again, like said before, I'll say it again. I just want more, please. Please, sir.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen a show do this, but how cool would it be if this was attached more or less like DLC to the season? Like if this episode just came out as a one-off, like in the summer.
It felt like DLC. Like, the episode fully felt like DLC.
I feel like there's a show that must have done that or so. Like, it's the equivalent of putting, like, a Christmas special out, right? That's
like a special, you know, this week on a very special The Last of Us.
Yeah exactly. I'm kind of thinking, like, basically, if you think about it, Matt, I know you just watched this, The Book of Boba Fett kind of took a break to do an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So it's possible. That just happened in a different show. But anyway. By the way, I missed it. I feel like I wasn't paying enough attention. So she took Shimmer, right?
And then her horse died. Shimmer was the baby. Shimmer was the foal that like she pet, and then they took another horse.
They didn't. Okay, so Shimmer.
Yeah, you were not the only person that was confused by that. I saw lots of people talking about that.
Good.
It just looks like Shimmer.
I mean,
yeah, Shimmer's still a little baby.
I don't want to be like racist against horses, but all horses kind of look the same.
All brown horses just look
sorry the same. All the horse girls out there and horse boys potentially, but usually horse girls, all horses kind of look the same. It's like babies.
On behalf of all horse girls, Simon, what the fuck, man?
Sorry, yeah, I should have known that as soon as you moved to Alberta, you just legally had to become a horse girl.
Alberta, baby.
And not just Alberta, Calgary. You got the Stampede. You probably have a cowboy hat within sight of you right now.
Oh,
I bet you do.
No, the door's closed, so I can't make eye contact with it right now.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
But if the door was open.
If the door was open.
Hats and boots all for days.
Yeah.
I bet you have some off-color cowboy boots, Caitlin. That's what I'm betting.
Oh, I fucking wish. Those things are expensive.
Really? You don't have like a big red pair of cowboy boots?
Who wants to donate?
Well, maybe you can pick some up at Winners.
Yeah. Oh, yes, the Target of Canada. What? Okay, can we talk about episode...
Episode 8? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I have feelings.
All right, well, feel free to get those feelings out. So, like, one of the, if not the creepiest villains from the game.
Yep.
One of those things that I'm sure you guys also thought this, that I was like, how are they going to one-up that in the show? Because... what's his dick? Nolan North did Making such a good Christian. Job as David. Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's a weird, really creepy. He did such a good job in the game, though. Such a good job. And yet somehow they found a way to have the actor match the energy and yet also ramp up the creepiness around it. Like, I don't know. You guys have probably noticed this, too. But, like, one of the things that... No, like I had to read about it afterward, and then someone pointed out, and I was like, oh yeah, that's why that was so creepy. That David looks fantastic. He looks well fed, he looks exercised, looks great. Everyone else looks like shit.
Did you see how big his portion of food was compared
to
everyone else?
Oh yeah, he was eating way more.
Yeah.
He's eating good.
Yeah. He got like tons of like human meat. Damn.
Got tons of that one girl's dad.
Protein.
Just chowing down on Greg.
Tons of venison.
It was Alec.
Oh yes, but like.
Oh right, yeah, fan. He does actually have a name.
Just noticing how like messianic he's trying to portray himself, that he's like wearing clean clothes and he's like nicely groomed and all that kind of stuff, and like everyone else looks like they've been living in the woods for 5 years, including Troy Baker, who's such a pretty man that to make him look not good must have been effort.
I didn't notice it was Troy Baker. Until it was done. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit, they did that to Troy Baker.
Yeah, same for me. The entire episode, I was like, that guy's really familiar. I'm sure I've seen him in something. And I almost looked it up a couple of times, and I'm like, no, just keep watching. You'll find it later. And then it's like, that's why. Of course. Obviously. And then going back, I'm like, how could I? I watched a YouTube video with him in it like 2 days ago.
Anyway,
good job, makeup department.
Exactly. They just all look so haggard. Like, they... look wild. Like, they were told,
like I fully believe that these people are all about to starve. Like, they look so rough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, they did a great job making that one guy not look like that.
Yeah. James, I think, is the name of the character. Yeah, for sure. But anyway, we get introduced to their little community, which apparently is in a resort. I guess I missed the sign there, but that's what apparently it's in a resort.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Ellie has to go hunting because they're running out of food. She's eating the last of her...
jerky.
Her beef jerky, yeah. And then she runs into the dude. It's so... Like, I think in the game, this is where we got one of the two things that I was prepared to look away from the screen. The other one being the finger break. I didn't watch that, I'll be honest. But the other one is, in the game, isn't this the part of the game where they do the jump scare with the bunny?
In that stream where it was like,
yeah, I don't, sorry, what was that? Can you do that again? Because we had an insert. Oh, perfect. Once you did it like that, it all came flooding back to me. Yeah,
Thank you.
But that part is traumatizing. Like, every time you watch it, it's like, what the fuck? Why would they just do that to you? But they did.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I completely forgot about this entire section of the game until we saw, like, Ellie in the cage. And not even the first scene of Ellie in the cage. Like, I was 80% of the way through this episode before I remembered any of this.
How did you block it out?
Incredible. As soon as it turned to winter, I was like, oh god, cannibals.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I've only played the game once in like 2015 or 16 or something like that. So like it's been a while, but I've more or less remembered the rest correctly up until now. So I don't know how this wasn't in my brain, but like when they, you know, when they're talking about how Joel, you know, killed this guy's dad, we're going to go bring him to justice. Because I didn't remember this from the game, I thought they were setting this up as Abby's group for season two. Ooh. And so when they, you know, like, I was like, oh, that's a weird change, you know, in this, her name's Hannah. It's like, I don't know why you would need to change that, but sure, whatever. So I was like analyzing this in a completely different way, and I was like starting to annoy me because I'm like, I really like the way they did this. I'm not sure why they're making this change. And then, yeah, like 3/4 of the way through, I'm like, oh no, I'm an idiot, never mind, I remember this.
No, well, I found it like so iconic in the games because I just remembered when his name's David, right? The pastor dude?
Yep.
When he revealed to Ellie that he knows who she is. That part was just so creepy and horrifying and like, no! Because after all of that, like, they had been fighting zombies together. They'd been going through all that shit. And so I just remember that being such a, like, a horrifying part because I just didn't see it coming. But in the show... Like, as soon as everything happened in the university and everything, I was just like, no, no.
Yeah, speaking of no, not enough action, right? That was a big change from the in the game. Like, you go through a full action sequence as Ellie fighting off zombies with David. He probably helps you, like, a little bit, but I remember him, like, cheering you on. Mm-hmm. That was one thing I always thought was weird. I didn't remember... it's interesting that we all remember different things. Matt remembered nothing. You remembered that. I didn't remember really... Like, I remember that they were cannibals. Remember that they were... As soon as she got in the cage, I remember that the guy's fingers were about to be broken. So as soon as he went and, like, reached out of the cage, I'm like, well, I'm just going to listen to the next couple minutes of this dialogue. But the thing that, like, was really burned in my brain was the ending, which I think that they got, like I said at the very beginning when we started off our criticism rant a little bit, that I thought this was, like... startlingly similar to the game in a way that it almost didn't have any surprises. The ending, I thought, like, I don't know how they recreated that restaurant where it felt like it was exactly the same as the game. That was a little frightening how accurate it was, but it was. And I remember just feeling the absolute terror of, I mean, partly because it's doing exactly what it's supposed to, not to get into, like, the patriarchy and stuff like that, but, like, usually if you're playing a video game and you're a guy, a lot of video games, this might come to surprise people, feature male main characters, including this one, kind of, right? Mm. The Last of Us. And so it's like, if something catches you, like, it might, like, kill you and break your leg. But, like, to put my... Because at that point, I was so emotive with Ellie. I was so in tune, or empathetic is the word I'm looking for, with Ellie at that point in the game, that, like, the idea of, if this thing catches me, he's gonna, like, rape me before he kills me.
That was a new type of fear. Horrifying. That was horrifying when you see that, like, the only reason Ellie could grab that, like, knife was because he was, like, unbuckling his pants. Horrifying. Holy shit.
Yeah, like, as you say, Simon, as a dude, we're very used to dying, and I think, you know, you're more or less completely desensitized to dying in games now. But that's something else. Yeah, that one feels different.
The complete, like, dehumanization before that, yeah.
Well, and just the, like, the unraveling when you see you learning, like, okay, so he's this. Oh, that's awful. Mm-hmm. Also this. Oh, God. And then this, too. It's like, what else? Like, what isn't he? It's just one after the other. It's like this and this and this. Every bad thing you can imagine, mm-hmm. they do it.
And something mm-hmm. horrifying that I thought of after watching this episode, this dude used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. he had a violent heart, or however he you know, he said yep. it. Like, it's, this guy's about as dark as you can possibly get. Exactly. And the more you, like, look back and rewatch and find, like, little new things, you're like, oh, no. He was already very bad, but this is, like, horrifying.
Exactly, because it's just, like, he knows how to basically groom Ellie, or at least he thinks he does. He probably was, like, lulled into this sense of, like, confidence because, like, it's worked in the past. Like, it was just so creepy when you have that, like, lens on it. Like, Ellie probably isn't the first person he's tried this with.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm kind of rewatching the beginning scene. The episode, or the podcast episode about this episode is particularly enlightening because you hear all the little things that they added to David and all the little moments that, like, you might not even think about when you're watching them. But as soon as you hear about them talked, or you hear them talked about, you're like, yeah, I definitely, like, for example, when he's, like, consoling the girl whose dad they're about to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things, he actually, like, hits her at one point. I'm trying to find the exact moment, but it must be later on in the episode. But that's what they said in the podcast. He actually, like, hits her and then, like, tells her mom to sit down. Yeah. So, like, he's got that much control. And one of the things that he was, like, it's going to say, and so gross considering she's 14 canonically, but one of the things that turns him on about Ellie is that he's broken everybody in this community. Like, completely, mm-hmm. thoroughly broken them down completely. And so Ellie, he sees another person who's, like, not willing to be broken. So it's like, oh, so, like, that's kind of the thing that turns him on, which is, again,
gross.
Fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's like a fun challenge for him. It's like, ew.
But also they talk about how, I mean, I forget the exact moment they reference, but please, people, just listen to the other podcast. Listen to this one and then go listen to that other, even better one. But they talk about how he's also kind of the first person to pull one over on Ellie, right? Like, when she was kind of going with it a little bit when she was in the cage. So, like, yeah, she's been the one who's successfully outsmarted everybody else so far, and he comes close. So they are kind of, in a weird way, on a similar level, but, like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, it's such a masterful job of ramping it up. Maybe, and again, this may sound odd, but this might be the best demonstration of Craig Mazin showing what he knew from Chernobyl, right? Like, Chernobyl, he knew how to make us feel so unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, too.
Yeah, it's a very slow drip of sort of creepy things, like starting out more or less right from when you're introduced to this group, where it's like you see things and it's like, you know, something like, it's like, oh, like, when are we going to bury him? It's like, ah, oh, you know, like, the ground's frozen. We'll bury him in the spring.
Valid.
And it's just like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. sure. And then it's like, oh, okay, that's a lingering shot on the meat, or like, oh, they're like, you know, they spent some time showing her picking up these chunks of meat, or, you know, just like little moments like that like, as one-offs, you don't are like, they don't really, you know, hint too strongly at anything, but then you see enough of them and you sort of start to feel just a little uneasy and you sort of start to put things together, and then for when the actual reveal comes, you're like, you have this, like, laundry list of things that now become really disturbing.
Mm-hmm. It all comes together.
It sure does. So, Caitlin, did we talk about the thing that you already wanted to talk about? This would be a good time for you to hop on your soapbox.
Let me check my OneNotes. Oh, yeah. Fucking Ellie, why didn't she just keep going straight on the horse? She kept making all these, like, twists and turns. She was making herself a perfect target.
I didn't even, which part was that? I didn't remember.
When she was,
oh, she gets,
like,
captured.
Trying to,
oh, when
lead
she's
them
trying
away.
To, like, pull them away from Joel.
Yes. I was like, no!
Someone should have gone to the Prometheus school of running away from things.
Yeah. Well, she didn't know. Yeah, she didn't study that part. I mean, this part was like, we also get, in addition to Ellie being a badass shortly, I mean, there's a lot of scenes that we're kind of skipping over because we talk about how creepy they are, and mm-hmm. the guy who did, I think it's like something Shepherd, is the name of the guy Shepherd? Who did, I want to say Sam Shepherd, but I'm like, no, isn't that a singer?
I think so. Scott Shepherd.
Scott Shepherd.
Oh, it was a Shepherd.
There it is. Yeah. Well, I knew it. Yeah, I knew it was Shepherd, but it wasn't Commander Shepherd, of course.
His last name was Shepherd, and he had a flock.
Oh, wow. Damn. See, now I can't do as much editing as I wanted to because we've got to keep that remarkable line from you in there.
My big brain.
Yeah, you're really big brain that. Anyway, so, like, one of the things, we talked about, like, the fact that they're cannibals and that's gross and all that kind of stuff. But, like, it's going to be an iconic line for years. I don't think I've ever seen more disgusting food in a show. Like, objectively, yeah. There's nothing about meat where you could, like, tell that it's human meat. But, like, whatever they did to make... I was actually eating when I watched this episode, and that was a mistake.
It was really red.
It was, like, so red, it kept, like, staining the bowls, right? Like, it was just disgusting.
Didn't look tasty. They ran out of spices and were just like, fuck it, blood.
Ugh. Yeah. I don't know that I can think of like movie or TV show that's in theory. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's the part where they're in the diner and he just straight up like clocks her out of her chair.
That was also the fakest punch I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like, there wasn't even a sound of impact. It was just like,
well, he went with, like, a backhanded, like, I challenge you to a dual light slap, but she flew out like he, like, really wound up. 14-year-old. Yeah, exactly. She's small. But then, yeah, like, it's such a great moment because he then tells, he just holds out his hand and her mom, who just saw her, who lost her husband and just saw her mm-hmm. child get beaten, just sits down and then he holds out his hand and the girl takes it. Like, I know you want to take it. I know you want to take my hand. God, you sick fuck. David, yeah. You sick fuck.
He's like, you still got a father.
Yeah. You both have a father and a daddy.
Yeah.
Little gross. Do we know that the daddy's coming. And his name is Joel.
The only That's true daddy.
That's what I'm referring to. Yeah, the only true daddy. Anyway, mm-hmm. so then we get the hunt down scene. Joel gets to do some action. He's very efficient when he kills these people.
And I was so excited to see that torture scene. I was so hyped.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I wanted to do next. That was, like, hard to watch because it's just so brutal.
It was so fucking good. Yes! Oh, yeah. I was living! Go, Joel! Like, the fact that he is at 10% fucking doing his very darn best trying to get some answers. Some goddamn answers.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of the lines before, I think we've talked about, that I think Pedro does a great job, but, like, Troy Baker was just so iconic. A lot of things, like the whole, you're walking on mighty thin ice, girl. Like, that didn't come up. Ice. But, I mean, Pedro, I think, did this as good as anybody on the planet could. He was just so good, especially the final line. It's okay. I believe him. Like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
some of those lines, just so good.
So
like,
brutal.
I wouldn't have imagined this brutality from Oberyn Martell.
Yeah. I mean, it happened to him. You didn't think it would happen, you didn't think he'd be the one doing it? But one of the things they keep, I mean, I kind of want your guys' opinion on this as well, because we did talk about, mostly me, how that little they've changed in the games. But one of the things that I think was a very smart choice that they made from the games, of course, that Ellie saves herself.
Yes.
Which is definitely not something that they should have changed. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts about that. But I also want to think, like, if would there have been any changes in this episode or, like, added stuff that you thought that it was missing to just add it above, because again, it's like basically a shot for shot remake of the game.
I really did like that Ellie saved herself, like, especially from this creepy ass dude. It was just like a powerful moment. I don't condone violence, but I do condone girl power. And just, it was just so amazing seeing her just completely feral, stabbing the shit out of this creepy ass guy. Like, killing the fuck out of him. We don't even hear him make any more sounds after a point. It was just so, like, letting out all this aggression on this guy. Just all this shit that she's been through. just like wailing on this guy. I loved it. And then going out and right into the arms of Joel. I really like that.
Yeah, like, and like you said, we don't see it, or we don't hear him. We don't even see him after that. Like, when she's on top of him, there's never a shot of, like, you know, the his, like, disfigured face or anything. Like, it's not about him in mm-hmm. this moment. Like, this is, like, Ellie's sort of cathartic release. What he is anymore, like, doesn't matter. And, yeah, I love, like, Ellie saves herself physically and then goes outside and is, like, saved emotionally by Joel. Because she's just, like, as traumatized as you could possibly be.
Oh, yeah.
And then just gets out there and just gets, like, what has to be just the most satisfying hug in the world.
Mm-hmm. Like, the hug from a parent, someone who, like, loves her unconditionally and has her best interests in mind. Like, going from someone who, like, creepy as fuck, claims that can be, like, a father figure in the worst possible way to someone who genuinely cares for her.
Yeah, and, like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but at this point, we have the assumption that Ellie killed Riley. That's the assumption yes. that we're going off, right? So that would have been the first one that she had experience with, and she like killed the infected guy in one of the earlier episodes. Maybe I don't remember if she killed anybody in episode 5, but she didn't kill Brian. Quite famously, she didn't kill Brian. So she goes from like not really killing any people, because presumably Riley wasn't really a person at that point, to just axing Troy Baker right in the neck. He goes down pretty quick. By the way, I mean, we should give her credit. Very smart thinking to call it being infected. It's always a good tool to have in the book. Oh, another thing. As I scroll by and I see Troy wandering through the warehouses that have, like, preserved corpses hung upside down. Like,
yeah.
I kind of got the implication that these guys, maybe it started off as, like, we need to eat people because there are no animals. But, like, they don't seem to be doing too... like working too hard at finding animals. Like if they've got these prepared corpses.
Yeah, there's no like ranging party that's coming back empty handed and then everyone's like forlorn because like, oh no, now we have to, you know, like they have a system at this point.
Yeah, like there were quite a few people in this group. They couldn't have had a hunting party out for like a few days looking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm sure it started out of desperation, but now it's just kind of efficiency. Convenience. They're not working that hard to avoid it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, as you guys both pointed out, Ellie just wails on this guy for, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 hits, and he's down for the count and stops groaning after 2 or 3, and then she just keeps going, and then actually pauses and then starts up again. And I think, like, any issues that I potentially had with Bella Ramsey... I'll correct my own history. I don't think I had any issues with Bella Ramsey. I just didn't think that she aligned with Ellie, and I was so attached to Ashley Johnson's Ellie. I think that she's now usurped it. This is just... I mean, to the point where I'm now, what's our biggest complaint? That we're now all frustrated we don't get more time just to hang out with her because it's such a great portrayal.
We just love her so much. And Bella Ramsey is just, like, so... amazing. Like, what an actor. I'm just like,
kid's gonna be a star. Not a kid anymore, I guess, but yeah.
I honestly, I can't wait to see more from them, and like Bella Ramsey should win some fucking awards from this. They absolutely killed it all season, and I think because some people had, you know, issues early on where it's like that's not really Ellie, but like, I mean, I love Bella's performance through the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, at this point, this is what Ellie's like in the game. So even if there was, like, some discrepancy early on, like, they have aligned. And it's just such a good fit.
Exactly. Just, if anything, like, Bella just portrayed a more feral Ellie, which I love.
Yeah, like, I think they started off them both. You put a great band. I think they started off both Joel and Ellie closer to where they end up. Partly because they probably just don't have enough time for, like, that dramatic character shift in both of them, or Joel's case, that dramatic physical getting old as shit shift, right? They need to have they need to have him already kind of decrepit so that in 2 years he's not, like, falling apart. It'll be believable. Anyway.
Yes.
as we all get quiet.
Pause for laughter.
It's tough to say. I do want to point out, I'm not going to break my arm patting myself on the back like Neil and Craig, but I will give myself a little pat on the back that in. I was editing one of the previous episodes, and I made a note. I'm like, I bet that they're going to pause after he gets stabbed and then do Left Behind and then carry on for the finale. And I was exactly right. Not that it was that old a prediction.
Dang.
But I do want to say.
Hire this man, HBO.
He called it. Yeah, that's right. Please, anybody.
Season 2 of HBO's Craig Mazin's Naughty Dog's Simon Pazdor's The Last of Us.
Electric Boogaloo.
Presented by Neil Druckmann. Yeah. you can't forget that part. But yeah, it's good that we're, I mean, unfortunately, what's the phrase? Agreement is the killer of conversation. And unfortunately, we all agreed that it was, you know, it's good, but it could be better. There could be more. But next week is the finale.
But we're agreeing on these feelings.
We're hopeful to get a special returning guest star, one of the few returning guest stars. We're hoping to get them for next week to talk about the finale. But I'll be honest, like, I was going in a little, like, nervous, but still pretty pleased. Matt, you've actually made me dread the finale because I'm like, 45 minutes. We just went through this HBO, like, not that long
ago.
Not
even 43.
Yep.
It's like, it's ridiculous. This is, how are they possibly going to do all this in this amount of time? Like, they're just basically going to, like, teleport them to whatever. Like, you'd think you could get an entire episode off just them. Like, do they even have a horse? They didn't kill everybody. They just killed David. How are they going to get back to Jackson? Are they going back? Oh, they're not going back to Jackson right now.
If I hadn't played the game, I would have absolutely no idea what they were about to go do right now.
Yeah, how they're going to sum this all up?
It's... Don't have great feelings, but maybe we'll be wrong. But anyway, I think that's just about enough for us this week. So everyone out there, have a great week, have a safe week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Woo.